Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this Lenten season, we're looking at the miracles of the Holy Week. Last week, we listened to God's word about the miraculous tearing of the curtain in the temple at the moment of Christ's death. This week, we study and meditate upon the miraculous earthquake that took place. So, when an organization, a club, or some business wants to promote something like a special event, they want to draw a lot of people to it. What means do they use to get the word out? Well, don't they use posters or billboards or perhaps send out a mass mailing? I know we've all gotten stuff like that in the mail. Don't they use balloons, lights, or perhaps even expensive commercials on television? And they use newspapers, radio, even make phone calls to get people to come. And then there's Facebook and the internet. The more they advertise, the more people will come, the better, right? That's what they think. But what means did God use to draw people to his son, Jesus Christ, and especially to his death on the cross for the sins of the whole world? One thing that he used was an earthquake. So this evening, I'd like to direct your attention to this miraculous earthquake. There can be no doubt that the crucifixion of Jesus, humanly speaking, okay, this can all be traced back to the jealousy and hatred of those Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus had called them hypocrites. He interfered with the way that they wanted to run things in Jerusalem at that time. He was cut into their wallet, you know, he was taking money from them by not having people look at them. So he and Jesus also interfered with the way that they conducted things in the temple, which Jesus called his Father's house. Twice Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. He was critical of their lifestyle, the way they conducted things. And from their perspective, Jesus was very much in their way. So they made these plans to get rid of him, to shut him up. These Jewish leaders, blinded by their hatred and their jealousy, they foolishly believed that Jesus' death would be the end of it. Yeah, right. Trying to do away with God on human terms. See how that works for you. In Matthew's Gospel, we read about their plot to kill Jesus. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5. While following that, there was the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus, the mock trial, Pilate's delivering of Jesus over to be crucified, and then there was the crucifixion itself. Certainly up until the moment of his death, the Jewish leaders, they must have thought, hey, this is going great, this is falling right off of our plan. Soon Jesus would be silenced and out of their way for good. But God had other plans. There were a number of miracles that took place, like the earthquake. It must have been rather intense. Certainly the earthquake, the tearing of the temple curtain, the splitting of rocks, the opening of graves, were all of these were miracles were related, all occurring at the very moment that Christ died. Now all of these things could have hardly gone unnoticed. Yet think. Earthquake tremors thought they could hide their dastardly deeds to just a few of the people gathered at Calvary at the time of Christ's death. And maybe even just to the city of Jerusalem. Well, they were sadly mistaken, weren't they? What complicated matters for them is that God kept on performing miracles. There was the miracle of the resurrection. The disciples, they'd been demoralized, they'd been beaten down, and now their Lord and Savior, whom they'd been following, had died. But they began to become rejuvenated by that resurrection. The resurrection of Christ had a profound impact on getting the word out about Jesus, and in the process, it was drawing even more people to Jesus. Then there were the miracles of Pentecost. The wind-like sound that attracted the attention of the pilgrims that had come to Jerusalem that day. Then the flames of fire on their head, to say nothing of their ability to speak in languages they didn't know. The Apostle Peter took advantage of this situation of Pentecost. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he preached a sermon that day that convicted the people of their sin, calling them to repentance, and directed them to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation. We're told that on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 or more were drawn to Jesus, the Savior, in whom they were moved to place their faith. The next day, God, through Peter and John, healed a man who was lame from birth. This drew a crowd, and a strong witness was given to Jesus Christ. And on that day, another 5,000 came to believe and were drawn to the Savior in whom they placed their faith. Another miracle can be ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The inspiration of Holy Scripture. God drew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Jesus, and then they were moved to write about him. All of them wrote to different segments of the population at the time, or to an individual like Theophilus, and God used those four Gospels to draw even more people to Jesus. And he still does to this very day. Another miracle that God performed was the conversion of Saul, whom we know as St. Paul. He had hated Jesus Christ and the whole church, and he was persecuting Christians. We're told that Paul held the coat of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. The Lord Jesus appeared to Saul as he was traveling on the road to Damascus with the intent of arresting Christians and bringing them back to Jerusalem in chains. But on that road, Jesus changed Saul. He was drawn to the living Christ. And through him, Christ drew many others during his lifetime. So many of the letters, the epistles of Holy Scripture written by Paul still attract and draw many to life and salvation in Jesus Christ. So as the months and years went by, God continued to draw others to Christ. There were those who began to formulate statements of faith, which eventually led to those statements that we now call a creed, like the Apostles' Creed we just said. The Apostles' Creed is, we use it on Sundays primarily when we don't have the Lord's Supper present. And it can be traced back to the first century, to the baptismal formula of the early Christians to teach people who were drawn to Christ. The Creed isn't simply a statement of our faith. And it's a succinct statement of what we believe. So Think just how many people the Holy Spirit has drawn to Christ by means of the Apostles' Creed in these years. Think of how many people the Holy Spirit helped to keep in Christ Jesus through the regular profession of their faith through the Apostles and the Nicene Creed. Now, the good Dr. Martin Luther was drawn to Christ and then used by God to draw others to Christ as well. We here at Zion Lutheran Church, we've had a ministry to the jail. We've had a ministry in the community where we've given out what? Not just pamphlets. We've given out the small catechism. I've given away a couple dozen, I know, in just the last couple of years of the small catechism. And this little book is used to draw more people to Christ. I even know many other pastors who do the very same thing. Now, Dr. Luther's explanation of the second article of the Creed is wonderful. Listen, it goes like this. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity. And in those words, we all know, this is most certainly true. The Holy Spirit over the years has also drawn people to Christ who are gifted in music. Writing just the right words to fit into the melodies. Our Lutheran service book, the hymnal that we use now, not to say the Lutheran worship, Christian worship, the TLH, the Lutheran hymnal. Hymns like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. We sing the praise of Him who died. Come to Calvary's high mountain. Go to dark Gethsemane. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? A lamb goes uncomplaining forth. Many hymns. So we, each of us, like the earthquake, find that our plans and our hopes turn out different than we anticipate. God displayed His power in the earthquake. God displayed His mercy, love, and forgiveness in the crucifixion of His Son, Jesus Christ. The God of power, mercy, love, and forgiveness cares for you. Pray that the Holy Spirit grant you the necessary faith and confidence through word and sacrament. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.